2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Today being Mother's Day, we want to honor our mothers and think about the topic of mothers. And mothers have a great influence in their children's lives. And this verse here is actually not written to a mother. It's not really even written about a mother in specifics. But yet it is written to Timothy about his upbringing. And I want us to see from this some things that we can learn about Timothy's mother. Her name was Eunice, and she was a faithful, godly mother. And I believe that there are actions that she took in Timothy's life that we can take in the lives of our family that can be a help to them. And so whether you have children at home or your children are grown or whether they're, you know, whatever stage in life you're in, we can benefit from these things and think about these things. And, you know, once we get a little bit older and our children are all gone, the one thing we can always be encouragement to our children to raise their children in the right way. And also to other younger people. The Bible talks in several places of how the older people were supposed to teach the younger people how to manage their families and how to be a blessing to them. So there's things for all of us to learn here today. And so I trust that you will listen carefully and that we will glean from this. First of all, I noticed that Eunice knew the scriptures well. She knew the Holy Scriptures. And it's important for us to see that. We find that she was actually a Jewess. A Jewish lady, and Paul introduces us to her over in the book of Acts. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn with me a little bit today, if you're able. Go over to the book of Acts in chapter 16. Look at verse Acts chapter 16 with me, if you would, please. Acts chapter 16, and look at verse number 1. I want you to see these because you can mark them down in your Bible or mark them in your memories, and it'll help you with this. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 1. It says, "And then came he to Derbe," and that's Paul, "came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus," that's Timothy, "the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, and his father was a Greek." All right, so this tells us a little bit about his mom. All right, Paul's introducing us to his mother. He says that she was a Jewess, so she was a Jew, and she was a believer, and his father was a Greek. Now, the word Greek there just describes a non-Jew, basically. So he was a non-Jew. So we've learned a little bit about him. He was born of Jewish blood, at least his mother was Jewish blood, and that she was a believer in Christ. Now, exactly when she came to know Christ, we don't know. And I pondered that a little bit as I was working through this. Go back to Timothy again, and look at chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, and look at verse number 5. Here again, we learn more about Timothy's mother, and actually are introduced to her name. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and verse number 5. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith," in other words, unfeigned means not hypocritical or sincere, or genuine. All right, so "the unfeigned faith that was in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it in thee also." So Paul said, "Timothy, I know you have genuine faith, because that faith began in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice." And so they had come to know Christ as their Savior. Exactly when and how and all that, we aren't sure. Paul refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. Many believe that Paul probably was able to lead Timothy to Christ on his first missionary journey. Now, as I did a little bit of calculating, I came up with this little theory, and it's only a theory. I'm not sure about it. But I was asking myself, I wonder whether or not Eunice came to know Christ before she met Paul. And there's a reason behind my thinking of that, and I'll show you in just a minute. But the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven about 30 A.D., all right, so he ascended up into heaven about 30 A.D. If Eunice was in Jerusalem at that time, maybe she went to Jerusalem for the Pentecost or the Passover and was there during Pentecost and perhaps heard the gospel then and was saved then. All right, so that would have been in about 30 A.D. And then if shortly thereafter she would have gotten married and or maybe she already was married, but then bore Timothy. If Timothy then was born in around 31 or 32, then by the time Paul came on his first missionary journey in 45 to 49, Timothy would have been, you know, 14, 15 years old. Of that age, probably an age that he would have been able to clearly understand the gospel and receive Christ. And then Paul, on his second missionary journey, he picked up Timothy and took him with him as his helper. And at that time, he probably would have been around 20, 21 of age. So that's a possibility. The reason that I suspect that is because of our text this morning, and we'll get back to that in just a moment, as to why I suspect that Eunice knew Christ before she met Paul. All right? Now, whether or not she knew Christ before she bore Timothy or not, it's not really the issue, but it would certainly make more clarity in our minds if that was the case, because she had an unfeigned or sincere faith in God. Now, she had married a Greek. We saw him back in Acts again, Acts chapter 14 this time. If you go back there, we find out a little bit more about Timothy and his upbringing. Acts chapter 14, if you would please. Acts chapter 14, and look at verse number 1. Acts chapter 14, and verse number 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together. This is Paul and Barnabas. They went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. Now, what do we know about Iconium? Iconium was a city that was next door to Lystra, where Timothy lived. It was not too far away. They were kind of sister cities. And so here we find in Iconium that not only did Jews come to Christ, but also Greeks came to Christ. So there is a possibility that Timothy's father, though he was a Greek, he could have come to Christ during those times of preaching. We don't know. All we know is that he is a Greek. And that these cities were close by indicates that there is that possibility that since there were Greeks saved in Iconium, there were probably Greeks saved in Lystra as well. And so Paul may have been able to lead him to Christ, or he may have come to Christ through the preaching there. But either way, if the very fact that he was a Greek placed a greater responsibility on Eunice for helping her son grow spiritually and draw near to God. Greater responsibility, because her husband was a Greek. Now, she knew the scriptures well. Being a Jewess, she had learned the Holy Scriptures as a child herself. This is part of the Jewish training. It's to train their children from the time they're little all the way up in the things of the Word of God. So she would have learned the scriptures from her mother, Lois. And Lois was also a believer. Now, again, we don't know whether they came to Christ back at Pentecost. This is where I was putting it together. They were teaching Timothy from the time he was little of the things of the Lord. Now, were they teaching him just the facts of the Old Testament law? That's a possibility. They may have, when it says they had faith, may have been faith in God in general. It may have been just a faith in God of the Old Testament saints. Or it could be that they actually had come to know Christ as their Savior and had placed their faith in Christ at Pentecost way back in those early days. And I wouldn't be surprised that was the case, but I can't prove it. But that is a possibility. Now, because Timothy had learned the Holy Scriptures from a child, and since his father was a Greek, and they did not live in Israel, that again placed a greater responsibility on his mom. Now, if they had lived in Israel, there would have been synagogues, there would have been Jewish teachers, and you could take their children to they didn't call them Sunday schools in those days, but they had classes for the young children, teaching them the truths of the Judaism. And so there would have been others to help. But here, they lived a long ways away from Israel. The likelihood of them having such teachers in Lystra was probably not very high of a likelihood. And so that places a greater burden on Eunice to teach him the scriptures. And so, as we think about this, moms, without a question, the most important thing that you can do for your children is to personally have a faith in God yourself. You know, that is the most important thing that you can possibly do, is to know for positive if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You need a personal faith in Christ. And that's true of all of us. Whether we're mums or not, we all need a personal relationship with Christ. That is at the very bottom of the foundation. We need that. That is where it all begins. And she needed that in order to be able to teach Timothy. And then also, then we need to learn the scriptures. You know, moms, you need to know the scriptures well. I mean, know them well. You know, sometimes I think that we get this mentality that knowing the scriptures really well is for the pastor, maybe for the pastor's wife, and maybe a deacon or something like that, but, you know, I'm just a nobody, so it doesn't really matter with me. Don't have that attitude. That's not the right attitude at all. We all need to know the scriptures. We need to know the scriptures very, very well. Every single one of us ought to be able to explain the doctrines of the scriptures and to be able to explain them in a simple enough way that even our children can understand that. Our children need to know the doctrines of the scriptures, not just the Bible stories. You know, it's great to be able to teach them about David and Goliath and Jonah and the whale and the Noah and the ark. But that's not what it's all about. It's the doctrines that are the important thing, and there's doctrine woven into those stories, but we need to be able to bring the doctrinal teachings of the scriptures out for them to see, to teach them to understand the scriptures. And so it's very, very important that a mom has a thorough knowledge of the Bible. So that means you're going to need to study carefully the Bible doctrines and memorize the scriptures. It's important. It isn't just an option. It isn't just a good idea. It's very important that all of us, especially mom, why? Because you have greater access to the children's training than even dad does. I mean, he's off to work. When he comes home from work, you know, he ought to be involved. There's no question about that. I'm not taking the responsibility off dad. He is the ultimate leader in the family. He will ultimately answer to God for what happens in your home. But mom, you have a great responsibility, a huge responsibility, and a great opportunity to teach your children and train them in the things of God. So, my challenge to you, first of all, make sure you know Christ. And number two, draw near to God. Get into the book. Meditate upon it. Memorize the scriptures. Learn the doctrine of the Bible so that you can pour that over into your children's lives. Very, very important. Then we see here that Eunice did just that. She taught the Holy Scriptures to her son. Back in our text verse, it says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He knew the Holy Scriptures. He had learned the Holy Scriptures from a child. Now, one of the things that's very, very interesting that you can't see in the King James English or in any of the English versions that I know of is the word child there. It's only used two times in the Bible, the Greek word, only two times in the whole Bible. And it actually means an infant or, sorry, it's not used two times. I think it's used three times. It means an infant or actually sometimes refers to an embryo. For example, it is used to describe John the Baptist when he was still in his mother's womb. It says the babe leapt in her womb. That's the word that is used here. That little babe that was still inside mom leapt in her womb. Then it is used to describe Jesus Christ when he was first born, lying in the manger, the babe in the manger. Same word. It's also used by Peter over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, where he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. That infant, that teeny tiny infant, day-old infant. And so here it says to Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. From the very time you were an infant, you knew the Holy Scriptures. Perhaps even before you were born, you had heard the Holy Scriptures as your mom would read them. And I believe that there was that opportunity for her to introduce Timothy even before he was born to the scriptures, as the mom would read the scriptures. You know, there's a lot in that, and I've read some about it, but not a whole lot. But there's that children learn actually from their mother the things that she's observing, and I don't really know how all that works. All right? But there's things that you can help your children, at least if nothing else, they can be familiar with. I remember one preacher saying, the little baby, the mom took the baby to church, and the preacher was just being facetious, but he says, he heard the preacher speaking, and he says, oh, I can take a nap now. I've heard this guy lots of times. Right. So, I mean, the idea that he had been there in the womb and heard over and over again. But the idea here is that she taught him from very, very early age in his life. Albert Barnes, in his commentary, made this statement. He says, the mother of Timothy was a pious Hebrewess, and regarded it as one of the duties of her religion to train her son in the careful knowledge of the Word of God. That is so true. They were ingrained that that was part of their duty as parents to teach their children the Scriptures and to get their children into the Word of God as early as possible. Now notice also the word Holy Scriptures. All right, this is the one that I met was only in the Scriptures two times. The other word was in there a few more times. But the word holy here is a unique word. It's not hagios, as the normal word for holy, but it's a word that literally means sacred. It's only found twice in the Scriptures. It refers to that which is sacred. And he says here that you knew the sacred Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. From an infant you knew this. Now since the New Testament had not yet been written, what was she reading? She was reading the Old Testament. She was teaching him the Old Testament. And so you think about the Old Testament was what Timothy was learning. He was gaining from. He was gleaning from. And Marvin Vincent in his commentary says that he says that the learning, that they learned to search the Scriptures for the messianic intimations. And an intimation was things that are pointing to the Messiah. So they were looking for the Messiah as the Jews would read the Old Testament Scriptures and they would ponder over those Old Testament Scriptures. They would be looking for anything that might have to do with the coming Messiah. And they would study them carefully and be able to teach it to their children. You know, we read the charge that God gives to his people back in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Flip back there with me, would you? It's the fifth book of the Bible. If you not know your way around very well, you got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and look at the instruction that God gives to the Jewish people regarding their children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse number 6. He says, And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. All right, so dad and mom needs to be in your heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest down in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. All right, so he says you need to know the Scriptures, you need to teach the Scriptures, you need to have the Scriptures written on the walls in your house, on plaques and things like that. He talks about having it on their hand and on their forehead. The Jewish people sometimes would actually take Scripture and make a little bracelet-like out of it, or a little thing that they would put on their forehead with the Scriptures on it. He was saying here, you need to keep it in front of you all the time. You need to emphasize this. You need to teach it to your children. So this was a duty of the Jewish people, and certainly it is a duty of us as well. Now, moms, once again, typically, you are the one that has the most time with your children. Far more than dad, most of the time, most instances. And they need to hear the Scriptures from you. You need to teach them God's Word. And don't rely on others to teach them. I mean, we've got a Sunday school, but that's not our goal. Our goal is not to replace you in teaching the children the Sunday school things. You know, they need to learn the Scriptures from you. They need to learn it from you at home. They need to hear you deal with the Scriptures. Systematically teach them the Word of God. What do I mean by systematically? It means you have to plan. It isn't just, well, you know, what do we read today, kids? Let me see. We haven't looked at David and Goliath for a while. Let's look at that. And no, not like that. But we're actually going through something and teaching them systematically. So all right, let's just work through this and go through this and teach this. And things of that nature, you need to go through them. Even like we're doing on Wednesday night, we're going chapter by chapter through the book of Exodus, picking out things that we can gain and glean from, and you can use those notes that I'm sending to you on from our Wednesday night things and take them home in another year and open that up and just go through a chapter or cut it in half if your kids are little. And just go through it. Remind them of the things. Great teaching tools. You know, we can do that, but you need to be systematic, teaching them the doctrines of the Word of God and teaching them the truths of the Scriptures so that the kids, you know, when you mention the doctrines of the Bible, how many major doctrines are there in the Bible? Some of you may not even know. There are at least 10 major doctrines of the Bible. 10 major ones. There's a lot of other little ones. But you got the doctrine of God, you got the doctrine of the Bible, the doctrine of Christ, doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of man, the doctrine of sin, doctrine of angels, the doctrine of salvation, doctrine of last things, and one other one I'm missing there, doctrine of the church. Those are the 10 major doctrines of the Bible. And, you know, you might not know very much about them. Well, a couple of years ago on Wednesday nights, we went through. Wednesday night is a great time for you to learn. If you don't come on Wednesday night, you really miss out on a lot of the teaching, because we go through the teaching things that can help you to gain those things. And then you can regurgitate that to your children and put it on their level and say, hey, listen, let's talk about who God is tonight and a little bit about God. And for all this week, we're going to talk about God and learn about things about God. And then next week, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and talk about, hey, you can just review those notes, go through that, chew it down in something that they can understand and give it to them. Help them understand. But we need to teach the children the scriptures. The most important thing that we can do, however, is live it ourselves. If we don't live it, we're not going to pass it on. Children have an amazing sense of what's important to us. They really do. And we can say, all right, now it's time to have Bible time. But it's, and the kids know, oh, this is just something we always do. We, you know, we don't do it during the week. We just do it, you know, when Dad says we got to do it. And so, yeah, I got to do that. But Mom and Dad don't really live it, so you know, it's not really important. They know. They can see it. That we need to live it in our lives so that we, you know, if we neglect to study the Bible and live it and love it, our children are going to neglect it too. And we don't want that. Folks, we don't want that. We want our children to love the scriptures and to want the scriptures and to want to come to know Christ and to want to love to walk with Christ. So Eunice knew and taught the Holy Scriptures. But not only that, but Eunice applied the Holy Scriptures. Notice what it says here in our text verse again. It says that from a child, that infant, thou hast known the holy or sacred scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible is able to make us wise unto salvation. Now remember, she was not reading John 3:16. She was not reading, you know, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. She was reading the Old Testament scriptures. I wonder this morning, how much do you know about the Old Testament scriptures? Many Christians, sadly, have this idea that the Old Testament scriptures are old and they're for the Jews. It's not really for me. I'm not interested in that, except for maybe the stories of Daniel and the lion's den and you know, David and Goliath. That's not true. The Old Testament scriptures are full of good things for us. And, oh, sure, there's some things in there that are Jewish only. I understand that. And, yes, there's genealogies. And you look at those long genealogies, page after page of names, and you say, what in the world is all these names in here for? Well, there's a reason. It was to help the Jews, especially after the time of captivity, when they came back to from Babylon in their captivity, they had to go through those genealogies and find out, who are my ancestors? Am I really one of them? Am I a genuine Jew? And they needed those things. And who could be the priest and who couldn't? Who's in the... They needed those genealogies. To us, they're a bit boring, I admit. But they're important, and they're an important part of the Word of God. But not necessarily something we say, all right, now, come on, kids, you're 3 and 4 years old now. Sit down. We're going to read through Chronicles chapter 5 today and listen carefully so you can learn. You know, it's probably not going to work, all right? All right? But they're there for a purpose, but perhaps not for our little children in our Bible reading time. But we need to teach them the scriptures. There's lots of things in there. And you know, you can glean. We've been looking at this in the book of in Exodus, going through there. I have been pleased and amazed myself going through there how many principles there are in the book of Exodus. Lots of principles on all kinds of areas of life. Just in the book of Exodus. And so if you read it, if you read the scriptures looking for principles, you know, I challenge you. This is one of the things you could do. Even if you don't take the time because maybe you're busy, as you're reading through and you find a principle, put a P in the margin or something. Mark it, star it or something. And so you can go back there later and dig it out and search it again. But there are principles all over in the scriptures. Now, what do I mean by principles? Those are things that you can apply to today's life from applications found in the Bible. God shares his mind with us about things today through illustrations, through stories, through events, through commands, through teachings of the Bible. And so all of those things in the Bible we can bring out to our children if you're looking for those principles. But you need to be looking for them. So this Eunice here was able to teach her child the Holy Scriptures. And it says that they were able to make thee wise. That little word able. It comes from the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis is the word from which we get dynamite. Now you might not know much about dunamis, but you probably know about dynamite. Dynamite is that very powerful explosive that isn't very common today, but it's still used in mines and various things like that to explode things. And it's very powerful. I may have shared this story with you before, but I remember it so vivid in my mind. I was not very old. I was probably only about 5 or 6 years old. But I remember my father on the farm used dynamite. Back in those days, it was legal to have, and you could have dynamite on your farm. And so he had these big trees that he'd cut down there in the field, and they were in the way. So he wanted to get rid of the trees. Well, how do you get the tree out of there? Wait for 20 years for it to rot? No, he took dynamite, and he drilled a hole down 2 or 3 times around the bottom of the stump. And you take a long stick of dynamite and put a long fuse on it, push it down in there, push it down into the bottom there, put one around, and then tied all the fuses together and got a long fuse on it, and lit it, and ran. And when Nelson came down there and it ignited, it literally blew that stump right out of the ground, high up into the air, and it came down in pieces. It was a good way to get rid of the stump. All right? Powerful. Now he says here, the word of God is powerful. It is able to make thee wise unto salvation. It's the dynamite power of God that is able to make thee wise unto salvation. He says here that it was the scriptures that were able to make thee wise. Now, the Old Testament scriptures is in the case, and he said it's able to make thee wise unto salvation. Wisdom is the God-given ability to make right choices. Do we need that? Absolutely we do. We need the God-given ability to make right choices. I need it every day, so do you. And so we need wisdom. Where do we get wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the scriptures are full of God's wisdom. Especially the book of Proverbs is abundant and overflowing with wisdom. And if you study the scriptures looking for the principles and then apply the wisdom principles to your daily life, it'll make a huge difference in the way you act and live and dress and talk and things that you do and the places you go, because you'll say, wait a minute, what's the scriptures say about this? And we live by the scriptures, not by our own feelings. And so Timothy was able to be made wise unto salvation. And by studying those Old Testament scriptures, what does the Bible tell us about the Old Testament scriptures related to salvation? Well, several things. One is in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. All right, so the deeds of the law, keeping of the Old Testament law, you can try your best to keep the Old Testament law. You will never be justified. But the verse goes on and it says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So you read in the Old Testament law. A couple of weeks we're going to be in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. Now there's a lot of commandments in the Bible. There are over 613, I think if I got it right, different commandments of the Jewish people have identified in the Bible. But the Ten Commandments. Even looking at the Ten Basic Commandments, and God tells us these are the law, why, none of them can save you. I mean, you try to, this says one of them says, honor thy father and thy mother, the time days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, if you did that, will you go to heaven? No, that can't save you. And the truth of the matter is, none of us have ever done that. I mean, not fully. We've not always honored our parents. Oh, maybe 99% of the time, but that 1% we're a failure. And James tells us in the book of James chapter 2 and verse 10, if we keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, we're guilty of all. We have broken the laws of God. We are guilty before God. The Old Testament then points out the fact that you are a sinner and that I am a sinner. Makes that very clear to us. But it doesn't give us salvation. It tells us, be perfect. Don't break the law and you can go to heaven. But that's not, you know, we can't do that. All right? And then we read in Galatians 3:24, it says, wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Ah. The law was a schoolmaster. The schoolmaster actually in those days, would, if I understand it right, he actually would go around like the school bus and collect the kids and bring them to school. Right? So the schoolmaster would bring them to their educating place and teach them. And so he's going around collecting. He says the law is like our schoolmaster. It's collecting us, bringing us to the place where we can see the truth and be saved by faith in Christ. That is where it brings us to it. So justification is by faith in Christ. And so I've met some people over the years that say, I'm trying to keep the law and I think I'm going to go to heaven. I said, I'm sorry. I feel bad for you. You can't keep the law. Well, I'm trying. Well, yeah, but if you only break it once, you blew it. Well, yeah, I'm trying. Keeping the law is not the answer. The Old Testament was there to show us you can't keep the law. You need help. You need God's help. You need Christ. Christ is the answer. And if you've not received Jesus Christ, your Savior, you need to. But the Old Testament scriptures, Eunice taught Timothy the scriptures from the time he was an infant all the way up, taught him the scriptures, and it identified his sin, it identified his need for a Savior, it pointed him to the coming Messiah, and she applied that, first of all, to her own heart. She came to know Christ. Whether it was back at Pentecost or whether it was through Paul's preaching, I don't know, but she had come to know Christ. And then Timothy came to know Christ because of the preparation that was made through the Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures brought him to the place where he was able, dynamite power, able to come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. Wonderful truth. You know, that helps us to see something. You say, well, I just don't know, you know, the scriptures are good. Yeah, that's true, but I just don't. Hey, listen, God says it's the dynamite power that brings a person to Christ. The scriptures. It isn't your talk. It isn't my talk. You know, when we witness to people, it isn't the fancy way that I say something and say it real carefully and quickly so that they'll, I agree, and get them to say a prayer. That's not going to bring them to Christ. It's the power of God in the scriptures. It's the scriptures that have the dynamite power to bring them to Christ. Not my fancy words, not your fancy words. The same is true with your children. You can talk your children into anything. I mean, you could teach them for a whole week. I mean, talking about little ones, the older ones, hopefully they're smart enough. But you could teach them the moon's made of cheese. And I mean, you give them a week and you can convince them, yep, moon's yellow, yep, made of cheese. You can tell them anything. They'll believe you. Why? Well, they trust you. You're their parents. And I mean, the same is true with salvation. We need to be very careful. We have a passion and desire. I want my kids to go to heaven. I want them to be saved. But at the same time, we don't want to just have them sign on the dotted line because daddy said so. We want the Spirit of God to work in their hearts. So how do we make sure? We teach them the Scriptures. The Scriptures is the power, the dynamite of God that will bring them to the place of conviction where they say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. It isn't just mom and dad teaching me. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Him as my Savior. And the Scriptures can bring them to the place where they are ready to be saved. And so Eunice knew the Scriptures. She applied it to her own heart. And she encouraged Timothy and encouraged him in that regard as well. Now, the Bible also builds our faith. Salvation is only through faith in Christ Jesus. Notice the way that he used it there. Many times in the Bible, it talks about Jesus Christ. Here he talks about Christ Jesus. I asked myself, why did he put Christ first this time instead of second like he often does? I think it's because of the context. He just said, from a child, I was knowing the sacred or holy scriptures, and you were looking and searching those scriptures for the Messiah, and Christ is the New Testament word for Messiah. He said, it will point you to the Messiah, Jesus. And so the scriptures brought him to the truth about the Messiah, Jesus, and built his faith so that he was ready to hear the gospel. Hearing the word of God from infancy prepared his heart. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says that, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You hear the word of God and it'll build faith in your heart. And it'll give you confidence in God. And that's why, moms, you have a great responsibility. Keep the scriptures before your children regularly. And one of the things that is maybe a side point or maybe a rabbit trail, but I think it's important, is this. I'm not 100% dead set against the cartoony type Bible stories. but I'm pretty much against it. You know why? I don't want my kids thinking that the Bible's a cartoon. You don't want your kids thinking that the Bible's, you know, the Bible characters are no different than Popeye and the, you know, some of these other cartoony characters. You want them to see that it's real. Now, I know that some of them, they teach the stories, and some of them are more realistic than others, and I'm not saying it's all bad, but think on that, all right? You ponder. You chew on that and ask God about that yourself. But the thing is, they need to see. That's why when we choose Bible storybooks for our children, we've got two. If you need a Bible storybook for your children, I got two that I'd recommend. All right? And they are good quality. They got good stories in them. The pictures are very good, except for one or two maybe slight exceptions. They're good pictures. They're good storybooks because they will help us to teach the children the scriptures. And they can be a help to you as well. So they need to know the scriptures. It'll build their faith. And knowing the sacred scriptures well, when Timothy heard the gospel through Paul's preaching, his heart was prepared and ready to receive it, and he placed his trust in Christ. What a wonderful truth. And that can happen to our children as well. The better a child learns the sacred scriptures, the more of God's wisdom he receives, and the better he will know the holy character of God and his own sinfulness and guilt. And when he hears the gospel, the Spirit of God says, that's you. That's you. That's your need. You need Jesus. And he brings them to his knees and they trust Christ, their Savior, and transforms their life. Now that's exactly what we want. We don't want our children to just go through the motions and say a little prayer because everybody else did, and I don't want to be different than everybody else, so I'll do it too. And it never changes their life. We want a transformation that changes them from the inside out. And the greatest thing you can do for your children is live it and know the scriptures and teach it. Let the word of God work in their hearts. Know the scriptures. Know the scriptures. Now, moms, you have a great influence in your children's lives, especially regarding their eternal destiny. You have a huge influence on their eternal destiny. As you teach them to apply the Bible to their daily lives, it will give them wisdom that will point them to their need of Jesus. They need to see that. Once they trust Christ as their Savior, don't stop then. You know, the Bible needs to be real to them. It needs to be alive to them. They need to see it alive in your life and allow God to use it to build faith in their lives. And so we need to apply the scriptures and let it come alive in our lives that we might be able to make it the theme of our home. So I've been pondering this message and the ones I'm working on for the evening messages in a few weeks and some other things, you know, just coming to over and over again in my mind of how, as parents, our greatest responsibility is those little ones God gives to us. God says in Psalm 127 that little children are an heritage of the Lord. They're the inheritance God has given you. And we have a huge responsibility to rear them and guide them in the right way. And I know that as parents, and I've been there, done that, and I've made my mistakes, folks. I'll tell you. You come and ask me, I'll tell you piles of mistakes I made. But we can learn from our mistakes, and as I've learned from my mistakes, and I glean from other people's learning from their mistakes, I want to pass it on to you, and hopefully some of you that still have the little ones can avoid some of those mistakes. But we need to be able to train our children and guide them and mentor them and draw them toward God. And the way the scriptures, they need to know the scriptures are real and alive and powerful, and they see us reading it and see us meditating upon it and see us learning from it. The other day I was listening to a message. I don't think I shared this with you. If I did, forgive me. I might see now online. I might have. But this preacher was saying that when his years ago, he said, when our daughter was tiny, she was only about 3 years old, I think he said. And one morning, he was up at 6 o'clock down reading in his study, reading the Bible and studying. And all of a sudden, he heard this thump, thump, thump coming down the stairway. And he looked up and it was his little daughter. And under her arm, she had a bunch of Sunday school pictures in one arm and crayons in the other arm. She came down to sit by him, and he says, well, what are you doing up this early? She's like, came down to have devotions with Daddy. I thought, awesome. She knew where to find Daddy. She knew Daddy was having devotions, time with God. She knew that, and she came prepared. I thought, what an example. You know, our children ought to be able to say, I know Mom and Dad read the Bible every day. I know Mom and Dad pray every day. I've heard them praying. I've caught them reading their Bible. I know that. I can see that. And that's, folks, we've got to make it alive. It's got to be real. Our children got to see the need for it. That they might say, that's what I need. I want a live, living relationship with God just like my dad. Or just like my mom. Oh, that they might be able to say that. So, moms, you've got a great responsibility. Dads do as well. But we have a great responsibility. And Eunice knew the scriptures well. She thoroughly taught her son the scriptures from infancy and before. She applied the scriptures to her own life, set an example for Timothy to see in his life, in her life, and then she mentored him and coached him and taught him the scriptures and instructed him that he might be able to be wise unto salvation through his knowledge of the scriptures. Oh, we need to do that. I wonder this morning, does Eunice's example describe you? If not, what needs to change? You know, rather than saying, oh, it's hopeless, I can't be like her, she's just too godly and I'm not there. No, instead of giving up, what do we need to change? What needs to be changed? Maybe you need to know Christ your Savior. I don't know where your spiritual life is. If you don't know Christ, that's where it's got to start. You've got to have a real relationship with God before you can share that real relationship with God. But then, maybe you need to know the scriptures better. Now, Mom, just schedule your time to say, I'm going to learn the scriptures for my own sake, but also for my children's sake. I'm going to learn them. I'm going to study the scriptures intently and dig into the scriptures. Maybe you need to just spend more time with God in prayer. Absolutely important. Maybe there's a need to just pour what you do already know into the lives of your children. Maybe you've been kind of neglecting that or sticking them in front of a little Christian video and hoping that'll take care of it, or bringing them to Sunday school and hoping that'll take care of it. You need to pour out what you know about the scriptures into the lives of your children. And once you've poured out everything you know, then dig out some more and pour it into their lives some more. But we need to get active in pouring our hearts into our children's lives. If changes are needed, today's the day to begin. No better day than a Mother's Day, 2018, to begin making those changes. Those of us who've said goodbye to our children from our home, and they no longer live with us, we don't have as much influence in their lives, and perhaps the grandchildren, we don't have much influence in their lives either, but we can still be a help and encouragement to others. And we can still be what God wants us to be. And as then we know the scriptures and we're absorbing it, then we can be of help to the others that we know and even to the other children in church to be a blessing and a help and encouragement to them. So let's just ask God what he would have us to do today to become more like him and more like the example of Eunice in the scriptures. Let's pray.